10 or 15 years ago, if you had invested some of your money in the security business, you'd be a lot richer today. Our country is almost obsessed these days with security. You have all kinds of options from many businesses who sell a lot of stuff to secure your homes. LifeLock, LifeAlert, LifeShield, ADT, Guardian. Your computers have multiple options, McAfee and Norton and many, many others to protect your computers. In homes now, we can be secure, we think, with panic rooms or safe rooms. And our smartphones now have apps so that when you're in Los Angeles and the doorbell rings at your house, you can see who it is that's at your home. We are almost obsessed with being secure in this life, at least physically. But the fascinating thing about all of that, no matter what you may have, these things can be very important to us, I do know. But the fascinating thing is that all of the external security we might arrange in our lives doesn't take away the deep insecurity that many of us feel. Even if we have lots and lots of external security, the internal insecurity that we have remains. And we think about that today as a part of our series we've been looking at, Taming the Thieves, concluding our look at those things which truly steal our joy and our hope and our faith and our peace. We've looked at anger and discouragement, and today we look at this issue of insecurity, which perhaps afflicts more people than any other emotional and spiritual distress. Insecurity. Let's take a look at perhaps the most famous insecure character in all of America. So are any of you secure? We're insecure about how we look, about our weight, our appearance, our clothing. We're insecure about our age and our being likable. We're insecure whether or not we will fit in. Insecurities well up within us all the time. We wonder if we'll be good enough. We'll wonder if people will like us. We wonder if those past experiences of being rejected will be continued. We wonder if we'll make a mistake and make a fool of ourselves wherever. We wonder insecurely if we will fail. Everywhere we go in this society, we'll get messages that we're not quite good enough. All advertising essentially is about telling us that you will feel less insecure if you simply get this or buy that. It's as if our society often feels like one great big amusement park where you go into the house of mirrors. You remember the last time you went into a house of mirrors or saw it on TV? In the house of mirrors, you walk into and look at different types of mirrors. And one mirror will make you much taller. I like that mirror, quite frankly. Maybe another mirror will make you shorter, or skinnier, or fatter. Mirrors don't tell the truth, but they're everywhere in our society telling us things that make us feel insecure. Or also at the amusement park, you can go to those cardboard cutouts, right? Where you put your head in, and you can, for a moment, feel real secure, because when you take that, they take that picture of you with your head in there, and you look at the picture, well, wow, you have this great figure and this beautiful gown on. You have this big muscle and wonderful physique. Society makes us feel insecure if we believe the lies that the world tells us. And that's what we think about today. Because all of these messages are lies, seeking to tell us things that are not true about ourselves. It's Paul in the scriptures today who gives us this wonderful image of how Christians are to fight the battle of lies in the world. Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he's in prison, as often he was when he wrote this letter. Prisoners would always be tended to or regularly see Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers who were keeping the peace and prepared for battle and prepared for conflict at any moment, as they were the occupying force in Palestine of the day. And Paul, in prison, would have seen these Roman soldiers, not only there, but in many other settings. And so, as he's sitting there looking at the soldier, God gives him this inspired way of teaching us something. Because he looks at the Roman soldier, who has the breastplate of metal to protect him, a head shield, who has leg shields, who has a sword, and who has a belt around his middle to hold it all together. So Paul, by God's inspiration, writes to the church in Ephesus saying, you need to be strong, folks. Paul writes to the church in Trinity saying, you need to be strong, folks, when the world tells you these lies. And these lies distort who God made you to be. And the rest of the chapter, the sixth chapter, talks about the metaphor he places between each item of the Roman soldier's apparel and a spiritual truth. And today we just look at one, the first one. It's not at all surprising that Paul starts out telling Christians, you can be strong by putting on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. He talks in this portion of the letter to the Ephesians about the devil and the devil's schemes. Well, one of the definitions and descriptions of the devil is deceiver, liar. And so we connect the fact that the messages we get from the world and from our past are lies. Where does some of this come from? Some of this comes from our early childhood, the lies that we grew to believe because of the rejection in our early years, the lies that we came to believe because we were abused or otherwise used. The lies we came to believe because we were forgotten or overlooked or judged or constantly criticized. The lies that grew up within us because of the broken world that so often tells us lies. And yes, sometimes those lies, sad to say but true, came from family. Came from people very close to us. And some even this day, would confess, I can still hear my mother or father or someone in my family saying something to me that broke my spirit, that made me believe I was no good, made me believe I was never going to be good enough. Yes, that's where some of these lies come from, the early parts of our living. And so, acknowledging that that's true, we also acknowledge that these lies make us crazy. They change us. They make us defensive. They make us judgmental. They make us selfish and critical. They make us pleasing people. We do things to accommodate these lies because of our insecurities. And it seems like everyone is somewhat affected. Scientists, social scientists, have determined that insecurity particularly afflicts four age ranges. From 11 to 17, you can imagine the young people, the sensitivity to those insecurities. The second age range, 18 to 35, when people are still struggling to get past those early wounds of insecurity. 36 to 60 finds new insecurities coming in. And then from 60 to 90, a whole new set of insecurities about getting older. I found that people over 90 generally aren't as insecure, but everybody else? You're in, unless you're over 90. And even then, you might have some insecurities. And so these early impacts have hurt us. These lies have deceived us. And Paul says, put on the belt of truth, Christians. You do not need to be insecure. You need to know the truth about who you are. And the scriptures give us three very clear messages about who you are. And in those messages, you can stand, as Paul says. I love that phrase, stand. You can stand secure. The first of the messages is that you, every one of you in this place and all of God's people everywhere, you are created by God. You are not an accident. You are not just another person in the mass of humanity. As hard as it is to contemplate how God can connect to every individual, but you are created by God and for a purpose. In that truth, we learn that God has a plan. Every child who is born, created by God, has a plan by God's design. The purpose of the struggle of much of life, and yes, even the source of some insecurity, is finding why I was born. And some of you feel that, don't you? Why am I here, even now at this stage, at this age? Yesterday, a fascinating but not uncommon day in my ministry, as in the morning I conducted a memorial service, and in the evening I conducted a baptism. Think about that. In each situation, with our dear Scott, who we memorialized yesterday, I spoke about him on the day of his birth as a gift from God, created by God for a purpose. And in the evening, as I held dear Cashton, this little one, only 5 months old, I spoke about how God has created this little one and has a purpose, as has a plan. This is how you are. This is the truth in which you can stand. You are not an accident. You are a creation of the Creator. You are a child of God. The second truth we stand on is that you are known by God. And that, too, boggles some people's minds. How can God know me in the mass of humanity? Well, remember, we understand God to be the Creator of all that is and all that ever shall be, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. Yes, beyond our full comprehension, to be sure, but truth revealed in Scripture to be further sure that God knows you. The IRS, they know me by my Social Security number. State of New Jersey, they know me by my driver's license. The bank knows me by my account number. God knows me by my name. God knows you by your name. Because you have been created by God for a purpose. You can stand in that truth. Perhaps the most enduring metaphor of Scripture is shepherd and sheep. And in biblical times, the shepherd, as Jesus said repeatedly, knew his sheep. And did you know that every sheep had a name? That's how they knew them. Not just a mass, not just a group or a herd, but each individual sheep known by that shepherd. And Jesus gives us this wonderful metaphor further, where one of these sheep in about 100 or so of the herd gets lost. And the shepherd, see, Jesus says, goes looking for that one sheep by name, because that is what God tells us. We are known and we are valued. I know my own and my own know me. So when you're feeling insecure, remember, you are created by God. You are valued by God. Valued. You are a person of worth to God. And that's where the insecurity hurts so much, because in much of society, people don't feel worthy. I won't ask for hands, but I bet a whole bunch of you here would say, yeah, when I go here, I don't feel worthy. When I'm there, I'm not so worthy. Because all the insecurities, my past, my present, my abilities, my lack of abilities, I don't feel worthy. But God says, you are worthy. I created you. I know you, and you are of value to me. I like to think of it this way. I like to think that every baby who is born comes out with a cardboard sign around her or his neck. Now, this takes a little imagination, so bear with me. So on this cardboard sign are some letters. And the letters are I-A-L-W-C-C-O-G. I-A-L-W-C-C-O-G. They stand for words. They identify that baby. And the letters stand for, I am a lovable, worthy, capable child of God. That's how we are born. I am a lovable, worthy, capable child of God. You are. When you were born, that's how God created you and valued you. Now, the sad truth is, here's what happens in life. We go through life, whether it be family or friends, home or community, things start to happen. Bad things, difficult things, painful things, heartbreaking things. People do things to us and say things about us. And every time that happens, it's like someone walks up to that piece of cardboard sign around our neck and tears the piece off. It says, I am a lovable, worthy, capable child of God. But then someone comes up and hurts you, or steals from you, or diminishes you, or demeans you, or bullies you, or harasses or abuses. Whatever it may be, that sign gets torn. And again. And again. And sometimes we wind up walking around as adults with this piece of broken sign that's barely legible at all, feeling as if we are not at all lovable, worthy, or capable, much less a child of God. And God said, that's a lie. You are, as I created you, a lovable, worthy, capable child of God. And the world cannot take that away. The world's lies will not be victorious. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove how much I believe you to be a lovable, worthy, capable child of God right now, right today. I'll prove it to you. I'll send my son. I'll let him die for you. I'll let him do that. Do you get it now? That's the truth. And the lies of the world cannot stand against it. So, my dear friends, The belt of truth holds us all together. That you are created by God, that you are known by God, that you are valued by God, and that God loves you so much that He died for you. May that truth defeat all the lies that ever shall come, and may you stand in that truth every day. Every day.